You saw Jordan Cook in Alaska? Really? Are you making that up or are you serious? You didn't mean to run into him. There's another one, Mark. Where's Andrew at? Andrew did the calculation on what are the odds of... He's an engineer. I mean, he did the math. I saw it on Facebook. His wife posted it, but... So this morning, let me start with this. I want to put a picture in your mind. I want to put this picture in your mind, and then I want you to just hold on to this picture through the morning. Sound good? So when I was a kid, I remember an episode where, that's not the right word, but I remember when I was a young kid and my parents had another couple, a younger married couple, over to our house, and I was in the living room and I was behind their my dad's lazy boy chair. So like here's the dining room where they were eating and talking, and here's the other living room and the lazy boy. And I was crouched down on the floor, laying down like this, and they couldn't see me, but I was listening to the conversation. I was eavesdropping. And because I was so curious about what do adults talk about? What do they talk about? What's going on? And I remember them talking about marriage. Okay, so that's really what I remember. And then months later, I remember going to that same couple's house with my parents and moving things, which I didn't think anything of because you're just told to do what you're supposed to do. And then I remember, like, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year later, I remember going to the place where we moved her and then moving her stuff and moving it back to the house we moved it from. And then I remember later going back to that house and moving stuff out and moving it to a different place. Well, what came to pass then when I was a teenager, I realized this couple was getting separated. And then they got back together. Then they were being separated, and then they got back together. And my parents were involved in the helping of that. And I remember thinking this. When I found out that all that discussion and all that eavesdropping that I had was all really about my family, my parents, were helping another family. And I remember thinking, wow, that is... I remember talking a lot about that in our church services, but like when I saw my parents do that, it had a big impact on me because my dad always said like 20 or 25% of our city was Christian. So I remember thinking, man, if you could, like everybody in our church could have like four couples that they did that with, like we could really, like this mathematically could actually really work. We could like really reach the city of Oskaloosa. And that's the picture I want you to have in your mind a little bit. I want you to have in your mind because we are a family. Our church is a family. And all of our work that I'm just going to recap some of our work is really just our family meeting with other families, working with them, helping them. It's more complicated than that at some level, but about what we do and talk about all the time. But at its simplistic form, that's really what it is. It's our family has a unique stewardship of helping families locally here, helping church families locally, helping in blood families, helping nationally. I'm going to talk about, and internationally I'm going to talk about as well. So that's the picture I want in your mind. What if the church could actually be a family? That was another stage of my life as I really realized the church wasn't an institution or something you went to. It wasn't my dad sometimes called them some churches are just perpetual orphanages. because they have a great one, two parents, but everyone else stays at an immature level. But what if the church could actually be a family that helped other families? And what if the church's purpose was to be a family that helped their neighbor? What if every church thought that way? So here's what I want to do today, is just to see an update on our three spheres of work, deepen our understanding, give you an update. We see Brian's pictures on Facebook and whatnot, but I'm going to give you some more update on our family's work, and then continue. And then we need to continue to invest our lives in this work. So I'm going to follow the international, national, and local, and I want you to keep that picture all the way through, that we're a family and we're helping and we're working with other families. All right, so this whole thing is based on these core ideas as I get into these pictures. I'm going to show a lot of pictures this morning with my narrative behind it, but wherever we go in the world, our work is to lead people to organize their lives and their churches around these principles, that the church is the centerpiece of God's plan, that the kerygma didache, the gospel, the proclamation of that gospel and her teachings, the didache, will move through the world through healthy churches, through healthy families, through the church being a family. Churches are to be organized as a family, and God's wisdom in all its rich variety will be made known to earthly rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through the church. So that's a quote just right out of Ephesians 3 there. So the church is to be a family. That's the essence of what I want to move through this morning. All right, so I'm just going to tell you about two situations that I was in the last 2 weeks. And often when we give reports, it's like, where in the world is that place? Like, I can barely understand Chennai. Where, Chennai, oh, that sounds great, but where in the world is it? So I'm just going to give you a few maps. So here's Des Moines, and I went to Kathmandu, Nepal, which is just in the northeast corner of India. China is right above it, over here, but Kathmandu, Nepal. Now, this may look like one easy flight, 23 hours and 15 minutes. It doesn't quite work that way, but you actually go from Des Moines to, I go to Atlanta, because I'm a Delta guy, and then you go to Atlanta, and you go to Paris, and then Paris, you go to Delhi, which is right here, and then Delhi, you go to Kathmandu. So it's a whole lots of fun. Lots of airports. Okay, so you get there, you wake up, and this is one of the first pictures I saw, which I thought, man, this is like our family stamp is in this part of the world. It's always a good feeling, right? You're like, hey, I know who Bill is. Yeah, sweet. Like, I recognize, awesome. And we have a partnership with NCFN, Nepalese Christian Fellowship of Nepal. No. Some National Christian Fellowship of Nepal, I think it is. I think that's what it is. It's, you know, you don't always remember the family's last name you're working with, do you? It's kind of like that. But so this is one of the things I saw right away, hanging above the door. I was pretty excited about that. This was, you know, I've heard a lot about the persecution in Nepal, but this this was their sign out front of their building. This is their actual building here, which is another nice welcoming thing to see. And then this is Harka. So Harka is director of leadership, leadership development, as part of NCFN. So he's the guy that takes care of the leaders' development aspects, works with the pastors. And so he's there. He's right there. There's the president of NCFN, and there's Bishwa, who actually runs a Bible college and is really is Harka's right-hand man in the leadership development. So there we're sitting. David Reeves is sitting right there, who we work with as well. But they gave us these little welcoming things around our neck, which always makes me feel a little awkward, but they welcomed us, and we're actually going through. I've been talking with him about where's your list of names for. We need to know who's your 61 Doctor of Ministry students? And then all your other students. And he was so proud because he had it in one spreadsheet. Because people always say, oh, we got it, we got it. And I'm like, well, show me. And he's like, well, it's over here and over here and over here and over here. I'm like, just put it together. Show me. Let's see it. So I got that list, Steve. So NCFN, just real quick, it's a network. It's a entity that is made up of multiple networks. This is one example of one of their networks. In NCFN, they have about 800,000 believers that are associated with their network. This is one of the networks. I have no idea how many are in this particular network, but the main thing I want you to show for you to see this picture is when I think back to the living room setting when I was a kid and my parents helping that younger married couple. For a while, I thought they were helping just move in and out. I didn't know there was actually some intentionality behind it. But we have, because we have the opportunity to equip the leaders of NCFN, we have an opportunity to potentially equip these many people in this one network throughout Nepal. Isn't that amazing? I just think, again, if you carry that picture with you, I get really excited. I see a map like this, and I see that one of the students, actually, I think it's two of the students that are on our list of taking the Antioch School with us, are leaders of this network. Pretty awesome. We talked with him. I talked with him about taking this to his entire network, so he was pretty excited about that conversation. So I went and visited there. In order to duplicate a lot of this, you need to be able to print resources. So this is their print-on-demand area. It's an HP printer with pint jars of ink. Because ink cartridges are so expensive, right? So they have it in pint jars. I was like, man, I want to steal that idea back home. Ink is expensive. Well, this is a great picture. Oh, there we go. This is some of the resources laying on the floor. But it's I'm always encouraged to see this because it means that they want to... Our work here and the resources we developed are being used there. It's always an encouraging thing. This was the lady. Now, this is becoming a disciple, and this is in Nepalese language right there. She distributes the first principles to the NCFN network. That's her job. Like, she has a job because of NCFN, their leadership development, and their partnership with Build. So she has a livelihood from this, but she's also, I talked with her a little bit about, and she says, yeah, I'm excited. I get to help families be established in the faith. So you can go all the way on the other side of the world, and she can say one sentence, and I can know exactly what she means. Because she used the word established, she used the word family, and she used the word first principles. I'm like, you're Nepalese, I'm Western, we're speaking the same language. This is beautiful. So I was excited to meet her. So Noble City Church, and this is where it begins to tie into our national work, but Noble City Church, which is a small church, probably 40 people, somewhere in that ballpark, and then Northland Church, who is 20 to 25,000 member family, went on this trip. So Northland is right there, represented by Sean, and this is Ben Murray, who's represented in the Noble City Church. So at some level, it doesn't matter what your family size is. If you got six kids, right? Six kids now? Yes, six kids. Or one kid, or it doesn't matter how big a size your family is. They came along. Both of these came along to see how they could help NCFN, but also to see what they could bring back to their own family, their own churches. And I'll get into that a little bit more. We hiked up the side of some of the Himalayan mountain range there, and I was dressed like this, so that worked out well for me. It was like 94 degrees. Dressed with these shoes on. What's that? No, they don't have any tread. Look at that. Yeah, David Reeves was making fun of me, and I won't go into that, but I got him back. That's the main thing. That's true love. So we went to, this was a church, that building that is being built. This is one example. This was actually one of the D-Men students. This was one of his buildings. I was just, they're digging it all by hand. So these guys, you see the shovel there, that's how they're digging those holes. Everything, the whole building is done by hand. Everything. Everything about it is done by hand. So, but very beautiful, so beautiful. It's really amazing. All right, so that was Nepal. I spent 3 days there. And getting Noble City Church, our national partners, to really understand, and Northland to really understand, here's your opportunity. We're inviting you into our sphere, into our family. So then I hopped on a plane and I went to Chennai, India. And this may look like it's a simple 6-hour flight too, but it's not. You have to go from Kathmandu, Nepal to New Delhi and then back to Chennai. And just a quick note here. I was actually in the New Delhi airport 4 times on this trip. It was annoying. Steve, are you flying to Delhi this week?
Tomorrow.
So, congratulations to you. It actually is a pretty nice airport. It is a hub. It is a nice airport. And I've found a few little cozy cubby holes that you can get away in. So, all right, so this is how you know you're in Chennai, is you see a whole family on a bike. I always think these pictures are cool. I've seen 7 people on a bike before. Wasn't able to get my phone quick enough, but this is only 4, so this is kind of amateur material, but young guy riding the handlebars up front. And Mama, I swear she's only about a third of the way on, but nevertheless. All right, so we went to visit a church there called New Life Assembly of Gods. It's Assembly of God, part of that denomination. They have 35,000-ish people that gather on a weekly basis. They said later that they have 50 on the holiday, when the holidays come around. But you are? Who? Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, it's a great church. Started with 7 people in the house with David Mohan. 7 people in the early 1970s. They told me, they shared with us, we had a couple days together, and they said there's four things to build a big family church. Music, media, message, and massage. I thought that was interesting. And the reason I share that with you is just to share with you, they are seeking work from us to try to figure out how they can be not just a crowd that gathers, is their phrase. They are a crowd that gathers, and God has blessed them in that, but they want to become a family, a real family. So how do they do that? Preserve the fruit they have and become a family. A lot of emphasis on the Sunday morning events yet, but they're really looking to us, and they're taking some really significant steps that I'll share here. Chadwick Mohan and his David as dad David are the leaders, and Chadwick actually graduated from Gordon Conwell in the Antioch School in 2009, I believe. And they're working with us, organized as a family. I already said that. Okay, so here's what their church looks like. What's that? This is the Tamil church. Yes, this is the Tamil service. One of the services. I don't know how many Tamil services there are. Quite a few. 20? Really? So this particular hall. We don't need to go into all the details. This particular hall holds about 4,000. If you're sitting down. So they said 5,500 is how many people they fit in there. But that's what it looks like. This is actually the English service here in Little Mound, right here. This is a new center they built This is David Mohan on the feed there, and just showing you how you can get that many people meeting. All right, so here's the main thing I want to get to, though, is they are based on our model or the way of Christ and his apostles and the things they've learned. They really want to begin to organize themselves more as families. So they're basing a lot of their model on From Simple Churches to Complex Networks, that paper. Remember that paper? Simple Churches to Complex Networks. So they have life groups, and this is just in the English side at this stage, but they have life groups, which are essentially churches, like we meet as churches. And when five churches are formed, they form them into a cluster. They form a cluster, and then that cluster, they're putting a lot of emphasis on the Sunday morning, and so as that cluster forms, then they hold a Sunday morning gathering, and that cluster hosts it. So picture five of our churches, they cluster together, and then they put on a Sunday morning thing, and so there'll be 90 people in the cluster, but one of them that I went to, there was 450 people that are at the Sunday morning event. They call it a Sunday morning event, but it's hosted by the clusters. And so as soon as they get five churches and make a cluster, they make a Sunday morning thing somewhere in the city. Interesting as we talked through it more. This they have formed an apostolic team or sodal team, because apostolic word is a little difficult to completely push through. But this is their leadership team, a great team. I think this is my fourth time there, so I'm excited that we can see a lot of progress going on. Now, this is one of their leaders' meetings. Now, they meet four times a year. They meet quarterly, and these are all the shepherds. They call them the shepherds of all the life groups of all the churches. So this is the equivalent of our Monday night meetings. This is exactly like our Monday night meetings. Now, I'm talking to them about that quarterly is probably not enough, and you know, a lot of details underneath of it, but I want you to see how our family has an impact and has opportunity to work with this family. That's the essence. And so our Mondays matter. Our reports matter. The things we shepherd in our churches matter. So this is what it looks like in their group. So this is the strategy a little bit that we've worked on together. They've got their Little Mound Center there. And this is OMR, NLCC, cluster. These green things, just know that they're clusters. They're clusters. And they're probably a little bit ahead of us as far as mapping some of this out. I have a few ideas as I come back for how we can do a little bit better job. This is how many life groups there is. That's not terribly important. But 90. They have 90 churches, 90 smaller churches, 90 life groups at this point that they're organizing into clusters and the Sunday morning things. And I was really moved by this particular thing. So obviously it's July when I was there. It was just 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Maybe even less than that, but they had a list of shepherding questions. So every shepherd in the cluster, or equivalent to our Monday morning, wrote down all the questions that they had that they can't get answers to. And you know what? After there's one sheet of the five sheets that they had. You know what? I read through those, and I've got them, and I got an electronic copy of them. I'm going to share them with us as leaders, but you know what? Like 75% of these are exactly the same as ours. This is the problems we've talked about and we struggle with. So like, what do you do with irregular attendance? What do you do with a low priority to attend life group? What do you do if only one spouse attends life group? What happens when a life group member of another life group member approaches us for counseling? How should the leader go about it? How about if only one spouse comes to life group, so not in position to take care of a family? What about postnatal depression leading to lack of peace in the family? What about one spouse connecting more? What about boom, 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 boom? It's like, yeah, these are, it. No matter where you go in the world, people, we have the same things we need to be shepherded on and shepherded through. It was interesting that some of the shepherds were there and they were expecting to get, because they submitted these questions in April and they thought they were going to get answers to them. It was July. And then they said, and here's Michael from Build. And he stood up and this one gal goes, so, and I took questions afterwards and she goes, so we have 75 questions, so you're not going to answer any of them? I was supposed to, Chadwick told me to come in and wave my hands. I didn't know I was supposed to answer your questions. And Chadwick's like, no, we'll take care of it next time. Okay, now I think this is my last slide as far as the international things. But this one really was a moment for me. I just got done flying from Kathmandu, and it took me 12 hours too long to get there. I was tired. But anyway, I went to this life group. So I went to one of these churches, and this gal, I was terribly hungry, and this gal comes out, and she has a pizza. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I said, man, a pizza? This is, you don't know how excited I am to see a pizza. Because, you know, at this stage, I'm, I don't know, 12 days in or something, but, and you know what she says? You know what she says to me? She says, well, we've learned from your group that hospitality is very important for a host. And my husband and I are the host. And we heard you were coming, and Chadwick said you're not a huge fan of Indian food, and so we're going to make some pizza. And I said, man. And I had a moment. It was 3-4 seconds, but it was a moment. I asked her then, I said, how many times you made pizza? I don't know how you'd answer this, but she said this is her second time in her life when she's made pizza. Second time in her life. So I was, if you connect it all together back to my first story, she is learning from our family how her role is very important in these life groups, and her role is to be a host. I was very impacted at that night how important the host family is of our churches. So important, because she was looking after the needs of everybody in the church. Quick travel stats. 13 airports, 24 security checks, 4 times in the Delhi airport, 0 lost bags, 0 delays, believe it or not. I had 0 plane crashes, shipwrecks, and 50 hours in planes and reports, so fun. Or planes and airports. Anyway, I want to quick mention this. This, the Antioch School weaves its way through our national work as a family. It's how we train our leaders. It's our developmental tool for leaders. It's in our national and our local work, as you know. But we just got 5 years accreditation for, yeah. This is a big deal. We could spend a whole morning on this, but this was kind of like traveling up one of those Himalayan mountain ranges in dress shoes. It was difficult, and really God's Spirit was following us on this one, I really believe. So we're really excited on that. Now the work begins. So. All right, I want to talk about our national side just a little bit. You've heard this from me, but I want to get it back into your mind how important the national side is. So we have really just two sides to the national, and that is the, let me get a drink of water here a second. I want to keep building an understanding in your minds of what this actually is. I think we talk about it a lot, but it's sometimes hard to like put your hands around it. Like, what is it actually? So there's really just two things that we do. One is called the Antioch Initiative. Sometimes we call it the 30-city urban strategy, 30-city strategy, and sometimes we call it an urban initiative. But in essence, all it is where we work with existing churches, existing families, existing entities. No matter what, we work with all different streams of people. Streams, what I mean by that is denomination, different denomination, non-denominate. We work with church planning networks. We work with all different streams of people. And we want to help them plant churches and train leaders to seek the welfare in their own city. So in my mind, when I tie it back to that first story I told, like we actually get to help people do more of what I saw my parents trying to do when I was a kid. That's exciting. The other thing is our city church network, and that is a little bit more where those churches that are part of this network look a lot more like us. Meaning, when we work with churches up here, sometimes they don't look at all like our family. They look very different than our family. 25,000 people in the church. They've got all these systems and programs. They look very different from us, but we're still called to be a part. They still have called us in to do that. What's that? Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about Hickory in just a moment, actually. I thought you, like, were here for Immerse, and then you left, and now you're back. Who pulled her back? Keep pulling her back. So that's the City Church Network, which Caleb was pointing out. Carrie is a part of the Hickory crew, Hickory, North Carolina. All right, so I'm just going to talk about Northland here first because they were the ones that went on this trip to Nepal with me. But they started in a skating rink in the 1970s, and they're a church of over 20,000 today. And here's how their vision, here's what God has placed in their mind, which I think, again, ties back to my initial story, very much so. Here's what they want to do. They want to be a church that is distributed all over the world. They don't want to be just a church that gathers. That's their language, which, by the way, that's exactly NLAG's language. They don't want to be just a crowd that gathers as NLAG. Northland is, they just don't want to be a church that gathers. And they want to be. They want to distribute themselves, distribute the ministry, as they say it, all over the world. So they have this little phrase. You can't see it on the board, but I am us for them there, which I keep making fun of them and telling them that is a terrible sentence of English. Is anybody an English teacher in here? I thought that was. I kept telling them that's terrible English. But I am the I am us. Which is the family, the church being a family, for them, which is the expansion of the gospel, and we're supposed to go there. That's how they explain it. So I am us for them there. That's so they went to Nepal and Chennai really to understand how they can help and learn from Harka and NCFN's work and from NLAG. They really identified with the large church of NLAG because they themselves are a large church back in the States. So as I've talked with them about being focused on establishing people, having shepherds for all the people, organizing yourself into families, your churches as families, this is the ministries that they have outside of Sunday morning. So imagine... I said, imagine like you're having family dinner with your wife and your kids, and you say, kids, these are all the things we could do. Like, it's just a smorgasbord of options that they have for their family to do. And so they're really looking to us to figure out how can we figure out how we're going to establish our people? How are we going to figure that out? How are we going to figure out how to meet as families? So our city church network, and this is we just pointed out Carrie from Hickory, this group and network of churches that's very similar to our local work, very similar. They're really paradigm pioneers in their own cities. So they're really trying to forge this ahead in their own cities. They're typically smaller groups of people. I'd say most of them are 200 or less in size. Of their people that gather. Noble City Church went to Nepal recently with me, Ben and Matt. Hickory, North Carolina. I think Rodney and Hannah and Justice went to see Ferry in Indonesia. And Lawrence City Church is really starting to partner with United Gospel Mission in Delhi, which is Babu Rao. Anyway, if you can't follow all the names, the main point is begin to see how our family is affecting national, we have a national spheres of people that have called us into work. We have international partners that have called us into work, and we're bringing the national churches and the international networks, and we're bringing them together to help each other as well. So it's all a lot of overlap in it, but thanks to these city church meetings, I think some of these international partnerships are beginning to emerge. This is Ben and Matt from, where are they from again? York. And this is the Nepal background. And this was an interesting post. I stole this off Facebook. Stole it yesterday. Came up yesterday or the day before. And look what this is posted by Ferries Indonesia, the Indonesian leader of the networks, one of his guys. And look what, and he posts that he's with Rodney and Hannah and he's with Justice from Hickory, North Carolina. And look what he posts. He uses two words. Look what he says. New family. And I found that very interesting. This leader, this is David right here, this Hannah and Rodney, and there's Justice, and there's Kelvin, the man from down under, but he understands that his work is building up the family, and he understands when they come in, they're part of the family, and he understands that our work is part of the family. I just find that very, very, very encouraging. This is Kelvin's wife. I probably shouldn't have gone there. I can't remember her name. Kat. K-A-T-H is her name. All right. So now I just want to talk just a little bit about local. And I need another drink of water. How long has it been since we moved into a church of churches?
Almost 6 years.
Oops. Are you sure it's not 4.5? I probably should have had someone look at this before. Caleb, you were supposed to edit this. I'd like to dive into that further and understand why you say it's not your fault, but is it really? It's 6 years.
Same year Joshua was 4.
Same year Joshua. So you have a timeline mark. I have no timeline mark. So 6 years since we organized ourselves as a church of churches, as a family meeting as families. And today, meaning now, we are really putting a renewed emphasis on our local initiatives and reaching our local community. We're putting renewed emphasis on that. So I'm gonna just, we talked as leaders about this a couple of times. 3 weeks ago, I think, 2 weeks ago before I left on this trip. And then a week from tomorrow, we'll meet again and do some more conversation around this. But here's what it looks like. Oh, no. This slide is out of order, but let me come back to that. Our Ames Des Moines initiative, we have four general things that we want to do as we look at our family having an impact on the local Ames and Des Moines City. It's four general things that we want to do. We have a networking strategy, and next slide, let me just follow this slide actually. A networking strategy, and that is we want to begin to work with more local churches, people, established people, and established leaders. Now, we're going to dive in and outs of the of how this was going to look, because I think some aspects of this has happened in the past, but a lot of churches are wanting to understand, especially ethnic, especially neighborhood-type churches are wanting to understand, how can we really be a family? How can we do that? And I think our family, because of our stewardship, because of our past, we have some real answers to those questions. Just an item of, this is kind of a corollary item, but James Riley, leader down in Des Moines, is rethinking his entire life work because of this. So really significant in my own, because James and I have been side by side for 12 or so years. But he's really rethinking his whole life work. So he's thinking about leaving his paid job and figuring out how he can make full time, how he can do really all four of these things. Okay, maybe the top two is where his skill set is. But just really significant. And Rick, the other guy in our church, is this Friday is his last day of his paid job. So he's beginning to rethink how he can organize his life around these ideas more of his time. So I'm not saying everyone's going to quit their job. That'd be a bad idea. But what I am saying is as we continue to grow in these ideas and mature in these ideas, I think doors and things begin to open up and we understand where we're supposed to plug in. And James is, in particular, is quite clear that he can network with these neighborhood churches. He can network with these ethnic churches. He can network with these pastors in the Des Moines area. Very, very, very much so. Rebuilding people's lives is another leg of the four-legged stool, I guess, that we're after. A lot of assisting the under-resourced people into our families and helping them rebuild their lives. Everywhere you go in the world, man, I'm getting this from Ruby Payne's book of under-resourced. That means family heritage. It means the financial. That means mental. It means a whole host of things, but they're under-resourced. Think weak. Think faint-hearted. Out of 1 Thessalonians 5, under-resourced. So we really want to, we're going to have more teaching on Sunday mornings about that. We're going to have more training on what that really is and the details of that. But all of us need to understand what it is and then be engaged and involved with that. We want to be involved, engaged with the business community. Businesses are essential to our lives, and our church needs to be a partner in developing people's gift sets and helping others begin businesses. So probably the biggest impact in the West in the last 20 years has been Apple, has been business. It affects our culture. It affects how we live. It affects what we do with our daily lives. And so if the church is going to have an impact on the culture, we have to be involved intimately with business. And so we'll talk about more about what that really means and what that really looks like, but it's another piece of our strategy. And then the last one is really improving our communications. We have a great story to tell, and I think we can improve not how we tell it as much as where we tell it and telling it more often. People use this center a lot, and unless they run into somebody and ask somebody, they don't know our story and what we're up to. I think a lot of people in our community that would use this facility would be quite surprised to know that we have people traveling all over the world doing these type of activities and that we have this mindset here locally even. I think people would be encouraged by that. So we need to tell our story more often and in a better way. So that includes the web. That includes a kiosk potentially here in this. It includes an art hanging area, maybe in the back area here, and updating some of our audio visual for our own use and for for when people use the place as well. So these are the four general areas that we're putting renewed emphasis on, that we as leaders are going to understand more about and figure out our role in. So our Monday meetings are, I just want to point this out, Monday meetings are very essential for hearing the details about all these things and building one-mindedness around these things. So the shepherding of our local churches, I was really impacted by NLAG and their emphasis of on shepherding, even though they didn't answer those 75 questions that night, that they're putting them out there and then working towards answers. And how they rely on us and our model and our ongoing development and our ongoing growth to answer these questions. Really, I wish each of you could just come with us, like every time. Obviously, that's not practical, and so we have to do Acts 14 and come back and emphasize to you about how important our work is collectively. All right, so let me just go back. Can I go back? I have one or two more things. What time is it? I intentionally didn't get you into groups to talk this morning, but 10:30, time to be done. I've said this before, but I just want to point out the pictures and point out all the things we have going on. All this strategy and all this work, all this discussion, all these papers, all these words we use, all of it, all of these meetings, our meetings and this is an older picture, but because I think some people are in different spots now, but all of those church times we meet as a family are important. When we have this, it's important. Don't neglect meeting together. These meetings are important. I know it sometimes, I think sometimes feel like we're not making progress, but when I go on trips like this, I'm reminded of how much progress we are really, truly making. I put all these logos up here, our Ames Des Moines Initiative, our 30 City Urban Strategy, our Antioch School, Antioch Initiative, our City Church, our local City Church. All those things matter, because when you show up in India and someone says, I know my role, and my role is to be a host, and I'm going to be a good host. All those things in the previous slide matters because of that. And you see, this little girl, I could tell you a thousand stories. So she is running around the house, and the house is like three rooms. And she's running in and out of the kitchen, running in and out of where we're meeting, and running around on the table. And her mom was like, oh, don't run around. And then they said about halfway through, she said, "Do in your church, when you guys meet, do the kids run around?" I said, "Run around? I'd like to, no, yes, they do." Because sometimes I have a very, very short fuse for a whole bunch of children running around in our particular church, which is why I'm not the shepherd of our church. But the point is I was really encouraged. She's struggling in her marriage, but her daughter was, she was very encouraged by understanding that it's okay for children to run around during church. And then we went into that. You know, church is a family, and what happens when you're at home and as a family? What happens? Well, you know, the kid may sit there for a little while, but you know, and they actually gain more than what you think, right? They're actually absorbing more. The children are than what we, you know, they don't have to be sitting there writing it all down to absorb it all. They're actually listening a little bit more than what we think. So, just a fun time. This is that new life group that I went to. You recognize any of these folks? Theo? A couple of people? Yeah, Pastor Theo, where's he at? I don't see him. There he is, right there. There's Theo. There's the host, and her husband is right back there. So, our work matters. Our work matters, and you go to places like this, and you see they're meeting just like us. So, it's an encouraging I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope this makes you renew your efforts in your church. I hope it renews your efforts in us as a network, that our work is important. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the church being a family. We ask that you would continue to guide us and protect us. Lord, you've had us on this journey for quite some time. And Lord, we can sometimes get weary and tired, and we maybe sometimes wonder, is it worth it? And are we on the right path? And so I thank you for these times of clarity. I thank you for these times of encouragement that your church family from around the world can give us. I pray especially for these days ahead as we put renewed energy into Ames and Des Moines and how we can be an impact here, how our family can help other families, how we can rebuild lives, how we can establish people and leaders, how we can work with businesses and help businesses understand their people and help start new businesses. Lord, I just I pray for that work. I pray that you would be with all of us, that each of us would understand our role, and that we would put everything we have, our whole heart and mind and strength, into this work. So, and to that end, we pray. Amen.